We have come today to another individual lesson that we want to teach before we get into some longer series of lessons on marriage and family, which we preach from time to time, as well as new lessons on the book of Hebrews that are going to be quite challenging as well. But today we look at a lesson that is challenging in application, but hopefully easy to understand. The old self and the new self. After becoming a Christian, we are to continually put off the old self and put on the new self. The text that we will focus on is Ephesians 4:17 through chapter 5. And verse 2. It is a challenge for all Christians that we must overcome the sinful culture in which we have been immersed. We have grown up in a culture that increasingly has turned away from God towards sin and has put at our fingertips many things that we should not see or hear or be involved in, and through many means have caused us to be corrupted in our thinking, especially the last few generations that have grown up in such a culture. Paul's letters explain differences between the Christian character and the worldly character they had previously developed. Ephesus was one such city in which Paul preached the gospel, a city in what we call now the nation of Turkey, the southwestern part of Turkey. It was the center of trade and idol worship. And there was much sin and corruption in that city, as there were across cities in the Roman Empire. But people were saved by the gospel, and a local church was established in the city of Ephesus. And Paul wrote the letter of Ephesians to the saints in Ephesus, the Christians there. And in Ephesians 4:17 through 5:2, Paul writes reminding them of their previous sinful lost condition, that they should no longer live in that type of thinking and conduct. He writes for the need to have their minds be renewed and transformed by the gospel, that they become different people in their thinking and actions. To do this involves the putting off of the old self and putting on of the new self. But this is not an automatic or instantaneous process, this transformation of character. It can only happen with our continual cooperation with God, who is working in us through His Word, the powerful Word that once saved us by forgiving us of our sins is the same Word that transforms us into the image of Jesus. The old sinful habits die hard, but with God's help, we can put them to death, replacing them with His righteous character to His glory and to His honor. And that is the goal of this lesson, to encourage us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, putting off the old and putting on the new self. We must first recognize that we are not to live in our former learned, sinful, lost condition. That is a condition that was learned, not inherited but actually learned over a lifetime before we became children of God. Ephesians 4 and verse 17, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness." What is Paul saying here? He's saying that their and our previous condition, futility of their mind, that is the vanity, emptiness of our minds as far as the type of thinking we are doing that brings us in conflict with God. It is futile. It cannot bring us to any good result, either here or in eternity. The condition produced is by ignorance. Ignorance has produced this condition, the futility of mind. Ignorance of his will, and it is compounded by the hardness of heart, the callousness, not wanting to know his will, but wanting to practice sin and feel good about it, and not realizing when we've had enough of sin, we are greedy for more, and we want to feel good about what we're doing. We don't want to learn the will of God. That is the previous condition that we have lived. The result, we are excluded from the life of God. We are separated from God. And that is the sad part. If we are not turned around, do not turn around, it will be that way for eternity as well. The old self has been learned, not inherited. That is something that we have learned to practice over a period of time, and we must not live in the old self, the old ways, the old thinking that we have learned. It is not that we were born with that corrupt nature. It's the fact that we have acquired that corrupt nature. We have learned it over a period of time. But the scriptures are quite clear. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, "The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment of the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself." And so sin is acquired. We learn to disobey God and practice it and love it and continue in it without wanting to be condemned. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 4, "Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And so we must learn to do right after we have learned to do wrong. 2 Peter 2 and verse 14, "Having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained or disciplined or exercised in greed, accursed children." It was Paul who would use that same word and tell Timothy to discipline himself or train himself in godliness. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, here Peter uses that word and says that the false prophets were trained, not born in, but trained in greed. Disciplined, exercised in greed. We have learned to be sinners, and then when Paul wrote in Ephesians 2 and verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. The nature that he's talking about there is not an inherited nature, but an acquired nature. We have learned to be sinners, but don't live that way any longer. In order to accomplish that, we are to put off the old self, be renewed, put on the new self, be transformed. This is the way that we will leave the old self and develop the new self according to the apostles' teaching. When we become Christians, we receive forgiveness of sins. The old self is crucified, buried, and we are raised to a new life. That's what we'll read in just a moment from Romans 6, verses 1 through 7. This all takes place when we are immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus upon our repentance and trusting and believing in Him as the Son of God, Lord of heaven and earth. But although our relationship changes by the grace of God through obedient faith, we are forgiven of all past sins, our thinking, desires, and habits do not change instantaneously. Over a lifetime, we must learn to live this new life that has begun at baptism. To have our character, thinking, desires, and practices transformed, our minds must be renewed by God's Word. That is, our minds must be adjusted by the Word of God. As we continue to repent, put off the old self, confess our sins to God, and pray for mercy, He forgives us. Renewed and rejoicing in His mercy, we put on the new self, praying for God to change us, allowing His Word, the gospel, to dwell in our hearts. And we continue daily to be renewed and transformed into Jesus' image, using our bodies as a living sacrifice to His glory. This is the glorious, continuous process that we must continue to engage in, and the power of the Word of God working in us that we might be changed. It all begins at baptism. Romans 6, verses 1 through 7, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. So at baptism, we become dead to sin and alive to God. Repenting of our sins, we desire to turn to a new life and be forgiven of our past sins. We are crucified with Jesus, the old self, and it is buried in the water of baptism through faith, and we are raised up according to the grace and forgiveness of God to live this new life. But it must be learned. It must be learned. It is not instantaneous. The process of renewal and transformation. But you did, Ephesians 4, verse 20 through 24. But you did not learn Christ in this way, that is, according to the old thinking, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, which has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And we are able to do this by the continued mercy of God. We see that this is not according to the new self that we should be, that should be our character, and so we turn from these things, wrong thinking and desires and practices, and we pray to God as Christians for forgiveness. Just like we read about Simon, who had been baptized, coveted the power of the Holy Spirit after being forgiven of his past sins, and he was rebuked and told in Acts 8 and verse 22, therefore repent. Repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. So we are to repent and pray, confessing our sins. 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we are to pray to God as we repent and are forgiven. We are to pray to God to help us change by applying his word to our thinking and actions, that we may become different. Ephesians 3 and verse 16, a wonderful passage where Paul wrote that he would grant you, that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, that is, by the gospel, the power of the Spirit, the word of God that saves us, now changes us, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul says that he prayed for the Ephesians to change, and he prays, we are to pray for one another to change, that we may be made different by the word of God, God continuing mercy toward us through the blood of Jesus, as we put off the old thinking and the old desires and the old practices, and applying what God has given to us that we should follow, the new self revealed to us, that we might be changed into the image of Jesus. Romans 12 and verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, made into a different form by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so, because of the joy of salvation, God's continued grace and mercy, we seek to become like Jesus, applying those things that God has written in His Word, so that we may become different. And over a lifetime, we do become different. Put off falsehood and put on truth. Ephesians 4:25, therefore laying aside falsehood, lying, deception, slander, speaking truth, each one of you with his neighbor. And we are members of one another. So we are to speak truth instead of lying, which is so common in our society. We are to put off sinful anger and put on righteous anger, seeking quick reconciliation through repentance and forgiveness, instead of holding the anger in and holding a grudge and bitter anger toward others. Ephesians 4:26-27, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Go to your brother or sister, whatever the problem is. Do so as quickly as possible and get it settled by the Word of God. Do not allow anger to turn into bitterness and hatred, becoming a long-term grudge. Put off stealing and put on working and sharing. Ephesians 4:28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. And so we are to seek to work, performing honest labor, not violating the Word of God, and then not only providing for ourselves, but for others. We are to put off unwholesome speech and put on edifying speech, that speech that builds us up spiritually. Ephesians 4:29-30, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So we are to build each other up in the faith rather than tear each other down by unwholesome speech. We are to put off grudge holding and put on forgiveness and kindness. Verse 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And so we are to forgive each other as we turn from our sins, and as they turn from their sins, we are not to be bitter, angry, and malicious toward one another. We are to walk in love, Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, just as God has loved us, therefore be imitators of God. As beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. That is a self-sacrificing love. Then we are to sacrifice for one another, spiritually and physically. So, regarding the old self and the new self, we are not to live in our former learned sinful lost condition. What we have learned, we can unlearn. We are to put off the old self, be renewed, our mind to be adjusted by the Word of God, put on the new self, be transformed. All made possible by the gracious mercy of God through Jesus. Examples of putting off the old self and putting on the new self. We are to be different than what we have learned. But it all begins at baptism, and it does not begin with the sinner's prayer. It does not begin by a baby being brought to the priest, that parents or guardians are told that your child was born in sin and they need to be brought into the Catholic Church through the rite of baptism, R-I-T-E. What they would call a sacrament, where the church seems to be in control of dispensing salvation to others, but we believe God is in control of dispensing salvation that we can read about through His Word, and it does not say that infants who are born innocent and not born guilty of sin should be saved by sprinkling of water, but when we read Acts chapters 2 and 8, we read the gospel being preached that Jesus has died for our sins, was raised from the dead, and exalted to the right hand of God, where He is ruling even now over heaven and earth. And we are to believe in Him as God, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that He is Lord of heaven and earth. He is the Son of God. He is divine. We are to turn from our sins as we trust in Jesus and confess our faith in Him as the Son of God, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, verse 32 to the end of the chapter. And upon our confession of faith and repentance from our sins, we are to be baptized, immersed in water in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. That is what we must do to become a child of God. Fully immersed in water, trusting in God to forgive us of our sins through the blood of Jesus. If you are willing to do that, regardless whether you have said the sinner's prayer or been sprinkled as a baby, sadly, the Word of God does not say that this is how we become Christians, but only through faith, repentance, confession of faith, and baptism are we brought into Christ and thus added together into His saved body, the church, His one church. We would encourage you to respond. We would help you if you text, phone, or email us. We would be glad to answer your questions or study with you through by Zoom or personally if we are near your area or you are near us. Also, as we become Christians, we must learn to live differently. We continue to repent and pray, Acts 8, 18 through 24, 1 John chapter 1, that the Lord might continue to be merciful to us as Christians through repentance, confession of sins, and prayer. and that we might put off the old self and put on the new, that we might learn to think and desire and practice those things according to the will of God, that He may be honored, that we may be transformed. That will take a lifetime, but with God's help, it will all come about. We would encourage all to respond before it is too late, as today we draw our lesson to a close.